to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the leaving Luke Cutfer.
Goodbye.
This week, we're talking about creature catastrophes, but first, we have a wee YouTube comment, and this one says, as a bisexual, I always appreciate watching Corey attempt to sit in that chair. Thank you. I've got a question. If you want to answer this question, you're on YouTube, go to the comments. If you're on Spotify, go to the spot. And if you're not on either of those things, here's what I need you to do. Go to space. Find a big rock. And when I say a big rock, I mean like a biggin, right? Get your little rocket ship and direct that rock towards the planet, right? And make sure that it's coming in hot, okay? And then just let it crash into the planet. And once most of life has been extinguished, just use the crater and write a little note in the crater. I will probably survive and I'll come across it and I'll know what your answer is. The question is, what's your least favorite animal?
My least favorite animal.
Everyone's always asking about favorite animals. Least favorite. Which animal do you hate?
Coyotes.
What? Gee, that's a... Why?
Or hyenas? Hyenas aren't great.
What?
Well, Disney told me. Disney propaganda against
Jesus,
the hyenas.
Jesus, man. Why are you hating all of these lovely animals?
Well, what do you hate then?
What do you mean, what do I hate?
What's your least favorite animal?
Dolphins.
What? Why are you hating dolphins?
They're assholes, Luke. They're not very nice.
I don't think hyenas are very nice either.
Hyenas don't have the intelligence that dolphins have. When dolphins are mean, that's because they're choosing to be mean, okay? Right? Like, dolphins ain't cool. Dolphins do a lot of messed up stuff. And I'm on to you guys, okay? I told you that story about that dolphin that seduced a lady.
Yeah.
It was our pilot episode. It could be listened to on Patreon. Remember that?
Yeah, I know about the lady who had to wank off a dolphin. Yes.
Yeah, because the dolphin coerced her into it. Exactly. Dolphins ain't cool, bro.
I think
dolphins
she coerced him into learning things that he didn't want to learn, and she put him in a big cage.
Okay, one, it was not a cage. It was a flooded bottom floor of a house. Two, okay, he refused to learn unless she gave him sexual pleasure because he had a crush on her, right? The dolphin is clearly it's clearly not the victim in this story. It's the perpetrator, and I will speak no more of it. So, we are talking about mass extinction events today. And to be honest with you, based on that conversation we just had, kind of wishing for a minor extinction event.
What, of just me?
Yeah. Do you know what a mass extinction is, though, Luke?
Well, it's more than just me.
That's, yeah, many things are. Most things are, actually.
Is it where, like, lots of species go extinct? So, like, something like 10% of the Earth species go extinct in one event.
Yeah, well, you're right and also very wrong. The percentage would be 75%. So
bloody hell.
About 75% of species being lost over a short period of time. Can you have a guess at what kind of period of time that might be?
100 years.
So when we say short period of time, we're not talking about actually short time period. We're talking more about geological time.
Ah.
So it would be closer to about 2.8 million years.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too long to measure.
I mean, 100 is under 2.8 million years, so you're not that wrong.
Yeah, and also 100, I wouldn't have gone, when I wanted to know a time period, I didn't want a short time period, like 100 years, the lifespan of a person.
Yeah, a short time period, 2.8 million years, because we're talking about rock time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just geological time is rock time.
Rock time.
Yeah, rock time.
It's rock time.
Man, you don't want to know how long that is in rock years, I certainly. Do you know how many extinction events we know of in the 3.7 billion year history of life on Earth?
Three.
Ooh, five. Well, maybe more than five. We'll get to that later on.
What's two extinction events between friends?
A really big problem, I think. Quite a serious one. Do you know what extinction is before we get into, the events?
Theoretically, it's the complete wiping out of a species, but probably more carefully worded, it's like the wiping out of a species to the point where we don't know or we can't find any of them.
No, so it's the dying out of a species. What you're getting at there is that it's very difficult to know if a species is extinct.
Yeah.
Because there can, you know, we can't look absolutely everywhere. And so there could be a very, very small population somewhere. But the way that we generally decide whether something is extinct or not is if we've not seen it in quite a long time.
Yeah, I just want to say as well, it's quite a weird experience when you live in the modern world. It feels weird that ultimately, like, finding out whether something's extinct still just... It ultimately just comes down to looking for it.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like we should just have, like there are cameras everywhere.
Yeah,
we could look in satellites, be like, oh, there's none. We've looked everywhere, there's none.
Yeah.
But there might be just one hiding in a cave and we've not looked in that cave.
Oh, we didn't look under that leaf. Oh, damn it. Oh, that pond. That
I didn't
one
even
pond.
Think about when they're tiny things.
Yeah, when they're little. Oh. Imagine when they're tiny. Like, imagine trying to figure out if a bug is extinct. That would be so rubbish, yeah. Honestly.
Wow.
And you're like, oh, well, we've discovered that it's extinct. And then one of them just flies out. You're like,
I'm sure that has happened, actually.
I mean, yeah, no, we have. Yeah. There have been things that we thought were extinct that we've realized weren't actually extinct. But it is just the death of a species. I say the death of a species, the elimination of an entire species. And so most species are extinct. Like 99.9% of all species are extinct, which makes sense. It's the same sense as, you know, most people are dead.
We should mourn.
No.
So Earth's just one big mass extinction event, if you take it from the perspective of Earth time, which I suppose is just rock time, but bigger.
No.
Big rock time.
I'm not going to give you that one.
Why
I'm
not
going to give you that one. I'm not. I just, it doesn't, I don't like it.
I don't like mass extinctions, Corey, but here we are.
Well, look, mass extinctions can be very important, actually. It can produce new animals and other such things. Anyway, not the point. Do you know what the background extinction rate means? What I would mean if I was using that term?
So that would be like the floor, like how many animals we expect to go extinct naturally over a period of time.
So yeah, not just animals.
Sorry, yes. Stuff.
Organisms, shall we say.
Yeah, stuff.
Yeah, species.
Stuff.
See, stuff doesn't mean living necessarily,
living
right?
Living stuff. I gotcha. Ha-ha.
So the background extinction rate, yeah, is the it's just kind of the normal rate of extinction without any outside intervention, right? Because obviously extinction is a natural thing. Species need to go extinct for evolution to really kind of work. Oh, although, yeah.
Yeah, well, you get new biological niches open up when something goes extinct, like the sort of the niche that thing fit into. Is now open for business and other things can fit into it, or things that were like adjacent to it can move into it, and then you just basically mix up the whole thing. It's like shaking up a snow globe, right?
Yeah, and the background extinction rate is about one species per million species per year.
Wow, okay.
So for every million species that you've got on Earth, about one of them goes extinct every year. And we have lots. We've got lots of species. I think it's between 10 to 100 species per year, and that's including all organisms. So it's not just animals, you know, it's also plants, fungi, bacteria, just any living sort of thing, right? And so, you know, again, I feel like we tend to think of it as just the sort of large fauna that we know of, right? We think of generally of mammals and birds and reptiles when we think of extinction and species and whatnot. But it is obviously more than that. It's literally every single species. So, Luke, what do you think causes a mass extinction event?
Oh, God. Well, a few things. Firstly, I would say meteor. That does it. Ice age probably does it. Human intervention probably will do it. probably in less than a few million years as well, actually. Oh, and like a pandemic, a plague of some kind.
Yeah, so, I mean, a pandemic would be a difficult one to cause a mass extinction.
True.
If you think about it, right? Because it's probably only going to affect one species.
Mm.
That would maybe make one species go extinct. But a pandemic making multiple, like, you know, many, many species, like, you know, 75 or more percent of the world's species going extinct from one disease, probably unlikely. And actually, a meteor or, you know, a big rock hitting the planet is a less likely mass extinction cause than you'd think. Yeah. I mean, generally, it's temperature changes or changes in sea levels or you know, things like that, right? A meteor has been sort of pegged as the reason for one of them, but volcanic eruptions as well. And do you know how we figure out whether a mass extinction event has happened or not?
I'm guessing we look at the geological record. So we look at the ground, and we might look at, like, whether a certain amount of, like, types of poo have disappeared suddenly.
It's basically the fossil record. Yeah. We basically look back and see sort of using fossils and the density of fossils and where they are in the earth and whatnot, right? Basically, it's all this complex stuff to figure out how many of these species were around at a certain time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't we just go through the five previous mass extinctions?
Please.
So do you know the first mass extinction event?
I don't know any of them, so I'm sorry to let you down.
Well, I don't know how to pronounce this one. It's the Ordovician-Silurian mass extinction.
Oh, yeah.
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 It was about 443 million years ago, and 85% of all species went kaput. Bye-bye.
RIP.
Yeah, exactly. And we think this was because of temperatures dropping and then just the sea levels dropping because glaciers just kind of formed.
So that was right? A lot of underwater life that went extinct there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was basically, and then also after that, it got really warm really quickly. So what ended up happening is, a lot of sort of life in the oceans ended up kind of dying out, and in shallow waters as well. So shallow waters, when, you know, the ocean levels dropped, all those shallow water organisms were like, hey, where's all my water gone? It's gone and I need that.
It's ice now.
Exactly. And all of the sort of, so when it's ice now, it's not ice where they're living necessarily.
No, ice somewhere else.
It's ice somewhere else. Yeah. Just to be clear, I don't want people thinking like, oh, they all froze in that.
No, not necessarily. God, it takes a bit longer than that.
Yeah. And so the issue in the oceans is that when the sea levels started to return, you know, go back up, the oxygen content went down, heavy metals were sort of in higher concentrations, or sorry, toxic metals were present in higher concentrations. And so, like, just a bunch of sea life just died from that change in conditions. I think it's sort of corals and a few other sort of things, trilobites as well. They went out at that period too. So, yeah, I mean, like, you can see that it's something basically kind of as simple as, you know, like, just the environment changing in that sort of way over a long period of time. I mean, this is 30 million years, right? So 30 million years, very, very long period of time, like longer than we can even fathom, really. And over that period, those kinds of changes that, you know, that happened were enough to destroy 85% of all species on the planet.
It's nice to know that it took 30 million years, though, so nothing, no individual, like, suffered it. It took a while.
Yeah, I mean, you say no individual suffered it, but, like, they did. Do you know what I mean? They did, though. You know what
yes,
I mean?
I just mean not in the same way as, like, you're a dinosaur, one day it's sunny, next day you don't know where the sky is, and now you're scared and you're probably going to die.
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I feel like the way that we try to think about these things is necessarily flawed, because we're very small creatures, and we can only, like, you know, we try to think of it through the perspective of one thing, and I just don't, when it comes to mass extinctions, I just think it's a really difficult thing to wrap your head around, because we want it to be sort of a one event that just wipes out everything. But it's more the if you think about it, right, these changes could be killing out species within the space of a year.
Yeah,
but it's over 30 million years that 85% of all species went out.
I see.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's there is a lot of sort of ambiguity in there, but yeah, try not to think of it necessarily as like, oh yeah, all 85% of the species took 30 million years to die out.
Sure.
It's just these changes happened over 30 million years. So we think what happened is that the Appalachian Mountains, I don't know how to pronounce it, the only way I've heard that word is in Dear Evan Hansen. The only time I've heard it said out loud. not where I found out about the word. It's the only place it's been said out loud. But anyway, though we think it's because they came into existence, and because they, you know, there's suddenly like a lot more rocks there.
Yep.
They get weathered, carbon dioxide gets pulled out of the atmosphere, which makes it colder, and then, you know, water freezes, so then water's stuck in glaciers, and so then sea levels drop, and then it's colder, lower sea levels, more acids in the oceans, just lots of different things happening, right, over this period of time, right, where it's like sea levels drop and then start to rise again, but when they rise again, things are worse now. And so that killed off corals, like I said, trilobites, and a bunch of other marine organisms. And then we move on to the Devonian mass extinction event. Do you know anything about this one?
No. I only know the dinosaur one, Corey.
No, don't worry. We'll keep on going through and I'll keep on asking.
But when we get to that dinosaur one, oh boy, well, I know a small amount of information.
We did an entire episode on it, so I'd hope that you'd know at least that. Yeah.
Oh, I'll go listen to it now.
Ling, is that the ad bell?
I hope so. We don't have any other bells in this room.
Well, I'll tell you what we don't have in this room, Luke. We don't have people who have subscribed to SciGuys on YouTube and followed us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
I actually have done all those things.
I have too. But why don't we tell people about why specifically that is a very cool and interesting thing for them to do?
Well, we want to be everywhere with you all the time. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, we want to be there with you. If you're on Spotify, we want to be there with you. And if you're on YouTube, we want to be there with you. And you probably want us to be there with you too.
Even if you prefer to listen on Spotify and don't really watch us on YouTube all that much, it really helps if you subscribe on every single platform because it gets us in front of more people, which means it makes it easier to make this show, which you love, right? You love it. You love us, right?
Give me love. Validate my soul.
Subscribe to SciGuys on YouTube and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify right now.
Heal the deep, deep chasm in my heart.
Let's get back to the show. This was about 374 million years ago. Three quarters, 75%, so it's just kind of just on the just on that line for being classed as mass extinction. Three quarters of all species just died out, obviously. So I think it was mostly global warming, and which is basically what we've got going on now, except in this case, carbon dioxide levels also seem to drop along with oxygen. And so ocean oxygen levels went down, and obviously that's not good for things that live in the ocean and like to breathe oxygen. So they started to die out as well. Apparently, like the sort of organisms that build reefs started to die out too because there was less oxygen. And I think if you think about it, right, like reefs are a habitat for a lot of different creatures. So when they start to go, it has kind of a knock-on effect. And I don't know over what sort of period of time this kind of happened over, but yeah, I mean, sort of like I don't think we know a huge amount about this, but yeah, sort of is, I've got on my notes here that species diversification slowed down as well. It could be because of the high sea levels letting organisms move from one place to another, and so you had like sort of essentially what's the word, sort of invasive species.
Yep.
Because of the change in environment, which then like sort of like impacted all of these different sort of ecosystems, meaning that there wasn't as much diversification of species. A bunch of species died out. You know, there was a lot of algal growth as well, and then the algae died.
Yep.
And that it's one of these sort of like knock-on cascade effect sort of things. And it's really interesting to sort of look at all of this and kind of be like, oh wow, it's crazy that this happened over millions of years, and now we're seeing this. Similar things
happen. We're doing that in like 100 years.
Yeah, we're like speedrunning it, honestly. I mean, yeah. It's kind of disgusting.
And worse as well, because like when you're talking about like, oh, the sea levels rise and that allows fish or other animals in the sea, like, or animals in the sea, sorry, to like visit each other and kill each other out. We're doing that with like planes and boats.
Yeah.
Like high tech mass extinction.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so in this one as well, actually, is really interesting. This is when lignin kind of developed, which lignin is that.
Oh, yes. I love this. This is such a fascinating story. This is the structure that trees use to stay up, to get really tall, is it?
Yeah. So lignin is the sort of structural sort of compound that is used for, yeah, like basically supporting plants. It is, yeah, what allows trees to be trees essentially and not have the sort of bendy stems that other plants might have. Yeah, it kind of gives that woodiness to
trees. And as far as I've read about this, there was like a period of time where basically kind of like what we're doing now with plastic, where lignin developed in plants, but then there was no natural cycle that broke lignin down, so there were just like dead trees everywhere and nothing to break them down, or at least the lignin in the trees, nothing to break them down.
Well, I think what broke trees down was
mushrooms.
Was like literally rock sedimentation, which is one of the reasons that we've got so much coal, is because these things didn't break down.
Oh.
And so it was like it was broken down by more mechanical
Whoa.
Pressures rather than biological things. And speaking of breaking down, because of this lignin, trees could have deeper roots, which increased rock weathering, which meant that all of the nutrients went into the oceans, which then triggered the algal growth that I mentioned. And then when they decayed after dying, oxygen was removed from the oceans. And that obviously then had an impact on the species living in the oceans, right? And it's so interesting. And again, there's more cooling here after this sort of period of warming, because there being more trees means that they use up CO2, because trees use up CO2 to produce energy. That's basically photosynthesis.
It is
photosynthesis. And then that reduction of CO2 in the atmosphere cools the planet as well, which it's this sort of cycle, right? I see people talking about people don't talk about the fact that Earth is it's self-sustaining, it sits in an equilibrium. Sure, yeah, the planet does it does regulate itself in some kind of way, right? You can see it in a lot of these mass extinction events. Something swings really hard one way and then kind of moves back in another direction after that. It can get really warm, which then causes certain things to happen, which can then cause it to get cooler again. But the planet does not care about people. And so if we pollute the planet and then the planet is swings back in, let's say, a better direction, right, or in the opposite direction after a while, it's not necessarily going to do so in a way that makes the planet sustainable for human life.
Yes.
Right?
No one is claiming that life will not survive.
Yeah.
they're just claiming that people won't.
Yeah.
Or that the people will suffer immensely in the process.
Yeah. But, hey, who cares about that? Hey, those damn scientists, what do they know? But yeah, so, I think it's really interesting to look at these mass extinction events and kind of understand that, there are similarities we can see between that and now. But also just the interesting sort of aspect of how one thing can cause this group of organisms to explode in growth, but then that has a knock-on effect on these organisms, and then this and that. And what I think you'll probably, hopefully, have noticed so far is that species, different organisms, different species, do have an impact on these things, right? So like trees growing essentially can reduce CO2 in the atmosphere, and that can cool the planet. Algae can essentially remove oxygen from the water through their rapid growth and then death and decay, right? But that's not one, in no instance are we seeing one single species have this sort of planetary impact, right? And in a lot of cases, with the Devonian, we don't actually know what triggered that extinction event, but in a lot of these cases, it's not triggered by biological factors, right? It's generally triggered by geological or abiotic factors, and then it's mediated or modified in some way by living things. So if you go to the third mass extinction, that's the Permian-Triassic mass extinction event. That was 250 million years ago. And apparently this was the biggest one. It's also called the Great Dying. Have you heard of it?
The Great Dying.
95% of all species died.
Oh.
Yeah, 95%.
Who survived?
Not many. The precursors to the dinosaurs, I think archosaurs they might be called, or maybe they were dinosaurs at that point. But basically, very few species survived. Marine life was hit, I think, the hardest, 96% of all marine species, and about 75% of land species just gone. We think it might have been because of the sun being blocked out for a bit, because of a volcano or an asteroid or something along those lines, just chucking up a bunch of dust into the atmosphere, making things dark. And as you may know, Luke, the sun is useful.
Yeah, I like him.
For a number of things, namely food.
Mm.
Food is hard to come by without the sun, because plants make food from the sun. Well, plants make themselves from the sun. And basically everyone kind of depends on plants
a little bit. It's kind of our only input.
Yeah, really, it is.
If we're a factory, the only thing we're importing is the sun.
It's so true.
Everything else we've got here, but we do need him.
Exactly. And so the sun being locked out, which we don't actually know exactly what happened, right? It could be the sun was blocked out. It could also be acid rain as well. But what we do know is that the sort of oceans had I think higher levels of carbon dioxide, or, you know, at the very least they became more acidic. We think the sun was blocked out. We don't really know what happened. I think it's between an asteroid or a volcano. Which
pick your poison.
Yeah,
which, like, would you prefer?
But I love that scientists are like, well, it's either this. We don't know which one it is. It's either a big rock hit us or ground go boom. It's one of the two.
Right? Yeah, in the same way about when I'm like, oh, well, I love that in the same way that when I'm saying that I love that, like, when we need to find out whether something's gone extinct, we can't just, like, look everywhere. But it feels like we should be able to just look everywhere.
Yeah, why should we not?
As well, it feels like, ultimately, like, we're really complicated, we're really complex, we've got some great technology, but, like, ultimately, Big Rock or the Earth doing a bit of vomit into the sky, and we're done.
But to be fair, though, if it's 250 million years ago, the fact that we've got it narrowed down to one of those two things probably is pretty cool, right? So if we kind of go through this, this one took place over about 60,000 years, which, again, really, really long time. But this was like really devastating as well. 10 million years, apparently, it took for sort of the trees and whatnot to come back to what they were before that extinction event. This is just the worst one. The Great Dying is genuinely just the best name for it.
So
because
bleak.
None of the others seem to have a huge impact on insects, which makes sense. Insects are generally pretty hardy creatures, right? But this one, yeah, it like wiped out a lot of insects as well. And that took, I think, 4 to 8 million years for marine ecosystems to recover. I've gotten my notes here. It was just ridiculous, right? So it was a blocked out sun potentially, and acidic oceans, acid rain, and then global warming coming up after that. And it just.
It sounds like all the things that the Bible's like, these bad things will happen. God's going to get angry and he's going to send you acid rain and, like, he's going to take the sun away from you and put you on the naughty step. That's just biblical horror.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely. But the interesting thing is that, like, all of these things have knock-on effects with each other, right? So the global warming means that the sort of rocks weathered more, which means that there's more acid rain, there's more sort of acid in the oceans, right? And presumably
salt as well.
Yeah, and then decreases the oxygen in the oceans, which then obviously kills a lot of things. Like, it's just consistent knock-on effects here. And again, right, you can keep on pointing out, oh, well, it was that bad, and then it's gotten to where it is now.
95% of everything died!
Over 60,000 years, right? Like, that is longer than we can really understand. That's longer. Like, I mean, humans have been around for what, 200,000 years?
We only count to 2,000.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on the 2,000th year. And 30 times that is how long this extinction event lasted, right? And it took, honestly, like millions of years to, as I said, millions of years to come back to normal. I mean, like up to 10 million years for a bunch of different ecosystems to, like, get back into, you know, a more normal state, let's say. And so that was the Devonian, the Great Dying. Not the Devonian. That was the Permian Triassic, the Great Dying. This is the Triassic mass extinction event. That was 200 million years ago. That killed about 80% of all species, so not nearly as bad as the Great Dying. It was a lot of dinosaurs, though, this time, unfortunately. We don't know for sure all of these things, but I think with this one, it was global warming, increase in carbon dioxide, and then oceans getting more acidic because of there being more carbon dioxide dissolved in them, because carbon dioxide is an acid, and so when you increase it in the atmosphere, obviously more gets dissolved in the oceans, and then that makes the oceans just in turn more acidic.
Yeah, we don't like that.
And so yeah, the oceans became more acidic, and I think this is something that we're seeing now, wherein things that have shells in the oceans were not able to make shells because of how acidic the oceans were.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the things that people who are like, don't worry about global warming, the sea will absorb lots of the carbon dioxide. And then it's like, yes, but then the sea will become acid, and then all the coral will die, and all the stuff that lives in the coral will die. And probably other things will happen, which we don't really want to happen.
Yeah, all the fish that don't like living in acid will probably... And, you know, like, when we say acid, I don't want you thinking like, oh yeah, it's hydrochloric acid. It's not that acidic, right? But it's still acidic enough to have the effect of, like, you know, if your shell is built from calcium carbonate, it's going to have an effect on your shell, right? Like, yeah. It has effects on things. It doesn't need to be like, ouch, Bernie, to, like, you know, there is a certain sort of range within which creatures can live, and if we get outside that range faster than creatures can evolve to catch up with it, which is what we're doing. If you bear in mind that these extinction events happened over 60,000 years, right? Some of them, right? So if we're making these changes rapidly over the course of 100 years, How on earth can we think that anything's going to be able to keep up with it, right? This extinction event killed a bunch of dinosaurs, it killed a bunch of, like, crocodilians, and it killed a ton of marine life as well, right? And after that, this is kind of like what happens with mass extinctions, right? It's kind of like a forest fire, right? A forest fire, it wipes out a lot of stuff, but then it allows new plants to grow and whatnot, right? With mass extinction events, what can happen afterwards is species diversification, right? So just an explosion in, because all these niches have been emptied, all these different sort of surviving organisms can then fit into all these new niches. There's just way more niches to go around than there were before, let's say. And so you see a much more diversity in among species, or a diversity of species rather, because, you know, there are more sort of opportunities for them. Yeah, like avenues for them to evolve down. And then the last one would be the Cretaceous mass extinction, which was 66 million years ago, killed 78% of species. And that was also, that was the dinosaur one. We did an episode on it.
Only just in the mass extinction section, though, by 3%.
Yeah, right? It's not the least sort of, let's say, deadly one.
Yeah.
But it's on the lower end, almost 80% of everything died. Yeah. It's on the lower end.
It's just such an interesting line that we've drawn there where it's like, 71? Nah, that's a weak extinction.
But to be fair, I think what probably happened is we found these five.
Yeah.
And 75 is the lowest of them. And we're like, yeah, okay, above that's probably about fine. I mean, I reckon if we find one that's like 73%, we'll be like, yeah, that's fine. That's
we'll
mass extinction.
We'll let you in.
Yeah, right? Like, I feel like I don't know if there's, like, you know, 72, 74, you know, a bunch of those that are just sitting there and they're like, oh, well, they could be mass. I think it's probably...
Try harder.
It's probably more a case of there are like five things we can see in the fossil record where, like, oh, wow, it seems that everything died off.
Something was going on there.
Like, I think it's more of a massive spike rather than a gradual sort of increase there.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, well, yeah. And so I'm not going to go into this because we've done a whole episode on this, but we think it was an asteroid hitting Mexico. Well, it wasn't Mexico then. Mexicans didn't exist to call it that. But it was the Gulf of Mexico, which, again, wasn't the Gulf of Mexico then. It was just...
It just hit the place now called Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that caused all of them to die. Again, we did an episode on that last year. Go and check that one out.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I think it is, but it's rather quiet this time.
Well, Luke, we want to keep a big old secret about this SciGuys merch.
Yes. Please do not tell anybody and do not purchase any of it. Otherwise, people will find out.
They might see you wearing our merch or displaying our merch and think, oh, wow, what a cool person. And I'll tell you this, as a cool person myself, having people think you're a cool person can be very, very stressful.
Yeah, we can't have that. We also can't have you supporting the show to exist that you're enjoying right now.
Yeah, so absolutely, under no circumstances should you go to normalcitizen.store and pick up some SciGuys merch. Some SciGuys merch like beanies and posters and t-shirts and calendars and cool stuff like that. Definitely don't go to that store and buy that.
Goodness me, that's an awful lot of stuff that I'm not going to purchase.
Absolutely, Luke. Now let's get back to the show before anyone listens to us.
God, I really hope we got away with that one.
And so we've done the five previous mass extinction events. Luke, I want to tell you a little bit about a potential sixth one.
The one we are now in.
Yeah, but we may now be in it. We don't know because, you know, we can't really say because it's been such a short period of time.
To be determined.
Blah, 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 blah. But let me just give you some information. Mm. So, obviously, extinction happens over a long period of time, right? Because that's just how evolution and all that sort of stuff tends to work, right? It's on a species level scale. And so, you know, it takes a long time for things to happen, you know, save for a sudden pandemic that can wipe out a species or whatnot. Save for, you know, a pandemic that suddenly wipes out a species. And this long time period over which extinction happens means that new species can evolve to fill those niches, right? Or there's a diversification of species. Basically, whatever spaces are lost get filled up by something else. So you don't end up having, you know, fewer and fewer and fewer species because they keep on going extinct, because more species then end up evolving.
Okay.
You know, over that time. Yeah, so it's not like we start off with 100 species and then, you know, oh, well, 10 have gone extinct and we've only got 90 species now. You know, over that long period of time, more species end up coming into existence.
So it's more like a species replacement rather than a, like, the number of species drastically declines.
Just normally with extinction, yes. The mass extinction event, everything gets wiped out really, like, over a relatively short period of time. But then over a longer period of time, as we said, it took 10 million years for sort of forest to recover after one of those mass extinction events, right? That's with normal sort of the normal rate of extinction, right? It, you know, species will then kind of grow to fill those niches. And that makes sense, obviously, because otherwise we'd be at a point where, like, we have
nothing left,
right? But that doesn't work when species start to die out too quickly, right? We keep on talking about this. I mean, this month we've done a lot of episodes on climate and what we're doing to the planet and all of that sort of stuff. And the thing to bear in mind here is that we are just destroying the biodiversity of the planet. Species are dying out faster than new species can evolve to basically fill those spaces, right? It is not good or healthy. And we, as a species, as humans, have just amped all of this up, right? This has become worse because of us. So a quote from Dr. Katie Collins, who is the curator of benthic mollusks at the Natural History Museum, she has said, the current rate of extinction is between 100 and 1,000 times higher than the pre-human background rate of extinction, which is jaw-dropping. We are definitely going through a sixth mass extinction. I've also seen 1,000 to 10,000 times higher, according to the WWF, not wrestling, the animal lot. And yeah, the background rate has increased. I've got another quote here. This is from Accelerated Modern Human-Induced Species Losses, Entering the Sixth Mass Extinction, a paper from 2015. First, we use a recent estimate of background rate of two mammal extinctions per 10,000 species per 100 years, which is twice as high as widely used previous estimates. We then compared this rate with the current rate of mammal and vertebrate extinctions. The latter is conservatively low because listing a species as extinct requires meeting stringent criteria, even under our assumptions, which would tend to minimize the evidence of incipient mass extinction. The average rate of vertebrate species loss over the last century is up to 100 times higher than the background rate. I mean, ultimately, even if you make the extinction rate as low as possible, right, the number of species that have gone extinct as low as possible, and you make the background rate as high as possible, it's still like, if you're like, okay, if we assume the background rate is like double what it is, and if we assume that the rate that species are being lost, the extinction rate right now, is like, you know, way lower than it actually is, then we're still like seemingly heading towards a mass extinction event, which, you know, I don't think we'd really consider, right? We talk about we're making lots of things go extinct, blah blah blah, but when we put this in comparison with mass extinction events of the past, like, yeah, okay, this isn't necessarily as bad as those at this current point, but the rate of change that is happening is obscene. Mm. It is genuinely obscene. Like, we haven't had nearly as much time. If we look at, you know, sort of 30,000 years, 60,000 years, we've only been, you know, producing this amount of carbon dioxide for about 100, maybe, you know, not even 200 years, right? So, like, it's over a very short period of time. All the plastics that we've been producing as well haven't really been for that long. So, like, yeah, I mean, over, you know, less than 1,000 years, we have caused this amount of change. That is somewhat worrying.
But that's also a good, you know, it's also to a certain extent, I guess, a good sign in that on geological time, this is like a cough, right? And it's not too late for us to try. Well, it might be too late for us to turn it around from a, like, we're not going to contain the amount of warming that the Earth is going to have. We have passed that as far as we understand it. But, like, we can turn it around and it won't be like it won't be as like catastrophic 60,000 year event as those are when it comes to like the geological record. There'll be like this thin line of plastic in the geological record. Like, what the hell happened there?
I don't know. That's a difficult thing, right? Because when it comes to our experience, the difference between 30,000 years and 60,000 years doesn't really make much of a difference. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get where you're coming from. But I think that, like, you know, if we're like, oh, well, it'll be fine in geological time.
Yeah. No, I don't mean, of course.
We don't understand that.
We'll be dead, you know, in that line of argument. It's like, well, geological time, like, life will be fine, whatever, we'll be dead.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that's not what I mean. But what I mean is, like, obviously there are things we've set in motion today which are going to continue doing that chain reaction type thing that we've talked about. And we know that's going to happen. But it's also not like where you have a volcanic eruption that blocks out the sun for a very, very long time, for like for thousands of years. Mm. We've caused this blip and we've realized, at least hopefully, we've realized the error of our ways fairly quickly compared to like a volcano that doesn't ever realize the error of its ways.
Yeah, no, I mean, I suppose, yeah. It's just, it's a difficult thing to compare because, you know, never before has one single species had this level of impact on the planet that we're aware of, right? And we know that this is caused by humans, right? So we've already spoken about a lot of this sort of stuff this month. I mean, in our veganism episode, we spoke about the impact of agriculture on the planet. I don't think we really spoke about soil degradation, but you know, there's lots of different sort of impacts that what we're doing right now to produce food and clothes and all of these sorts of things, a lot of different impacts those have on the planet, right? Deforestation obviously destroys habitats. Soil degradation it destroys habitats, but it also makes it more difficult for certain things to grow. It can decrease biodiversity. Pollution can kill so many different creatures, right? Whether that's ocean pollution, air pollution, land pollution, all of those can have an impact. Using up fresh water, that also has an impact, right? It's even more far-reaching that as well, because, you know, if you think about, there used to be bears and wolves in Scotland, and there aren't anymore. They had to reintroduce wolves to Yellowstone at one point. Like, we also, like, hunt and cull and just kill animals we think are problems, despite the fact that, you know, I mean, why are we doing that? Like, badger culling or killing foxes, why are we having to do that? Because we've already messed things up to that point already. And if we see something as a pest, we'll want to get rid of it. If you even look at pigeons, right? Pigeons are, they shouldn't be where, like, they're pests right now, but that's only because we kept them as essentially pets. And then we're like, ah, we're done with you. Chuck them out. And now they've filled that niche of living in cities. But they shouldn't be all over the world where
imagine
they are.
Imagine if we did that with, like, imagine if we, like, decided to stop eating as many chickens and cows and sheep and stuff, and then we just sort of, like, put them out, and then pigeons and cows and sheep became, like, just another sort of co-dependent human species, and there's just, like, chickens bopping around city centres laying eggs everywhere.
I think the only ones that would actually be able to survive that, personally, just off the top of my head, I reckon it would only be pigs. Honestly,
yeah, pigs are real good at that.
Pigs would be fine because nothing's really there aren't many predators that want to take on a pig. And I'm not even joking.
No, it's just such a funny way of putting it.
I've also heard about pigs kind of rewilding and becoming more sort of wild pig-like.
Yeah.
After even like a sort of generation.
They're also really smart. I could co-live with pigs.
No, you couldn't.
No, I couldn't. I'm sure I would hate it.
Pigs as pests would pigs as pests would eat children.
Oh yeah, God, they would. Well, so do foxes. Foxes kind of steal babies sometimes, but not on the level that pigs would.
Yeah, I mean, who's scared of a fox, right? I'd be more scared of taking on a pig than taking on a fox. I don't think you're considering like how big pig is.
I know.
Like a pig can take you. Like, so I used to have a pig, and the thing about these pigs is that when you scratch them on the side, they would fall over. Really cute when they're piglets, right? Because you just scratch them a little bit, and they're like this big. And then they fall over into the mud and you all have a good time. And then when they're adult pigs and they're, you know, my arm span and weigh, so you could not pick up this pig.
Yeah.
Like it's not possible for you to pick up the pig. That's how much they weigh. You rub them on the side, you scratch them, but really what you do is you get your knuckles in because they're now so big and so, like, their skin is so thick that you really got to knuckle in and, like, really give it a go. Otherwise, they don't really, like, care about it, right? So you scratch them that way. Then they fall over onto your legs because they're, you know, because they, that's what you think you do when they scratch. That's what they do when you scratch them on the side. They fall over onto your legs, which then knocks you over into the mud if you're, like, if you cannot keep yourself up, which you probably will not be able to, right? Like, you do not want to take on a pig. You don't.
No. Mm. I won't then, Corey. Thank you. You've convinced me.
Yeah, you're welcome. but yeah, so 70% of land surfaces have been transformed by humans, and we're using three quarters of fresh water. We're destroying the forests, soils, air, the oceans. Just we're just killing animals because we find them, you know, problematic. The doctor that I just quoted from the Natural History Museum also says that, you know, a lot of predatory birds are killed disproportionately because they're seen as a threat to farming, although they mostly eat rabbits, she says. So, like, we will just kill stuff because we feel we can. Invasive species are another thing. You know, we've spoken about that in previous episodes, you know, the cane toads in Australia. But if we bring in species from different places, it can have a really poor effect on our environment. Like, so, for example, the red squirrel compared to the gray squirrel, right? Red squirrel in Scotland is native. Gray squirrel is invasive. And red squirrel's going out because the gray squirrel's just better at, you know, filling that niche than the red squirrel.
Being an asshole.
Yeah, no, but seriously, though, and it's just like, we just keep on doing this. We just keep on taking one thing and putting it somewhere else and being like, oh, why has it messed everything up? Why is bad now? You know, like, and sometimes it's fine, like rabbits, you know, rabbits aren't from here.
They're immigrants.
They are, yeah. They're not native to here.
Someone tell Rishi Sunak. Deport the rabbits to Rwanda. That's what we need to be the new government policy.
I mean, you can fit more of them on a flight, so you'll probably be happy with that.
That's very true. You can get lots of immigrants to Rwanda by putting 150 bunnies on a flight.
But yeah, just burning that much fuel and producing so much carbon dioxide is obviously changing the atmosphere of the planet, the global temperatures, and those are having a serious effect. So I'll just read this verbatim here. Humans are emitting greenhouse gases as fast as or even faster than the Siberian traps, and Earth's climate is rapidly changing as a result. So the Siberian traps, they were the cause of one of those mass extinction events, right? They released more than 1,400 times the carbon dioxide that humans have in 2018 from burning fossil fuels for energy, right? But the point is that we are releasing carbon much faster than the cause of this mass extinction event. So while, yeah, the total number that we've released so far is way, 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 way lower, but we're also releasing it at a much higher rate.
It's also not a very good comparison bar to be like, oh, well, we're releasing less CO2 than this thing that caused more than 75% of the species on Earth to die.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's something. We're doing good.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as well, like, the thing is that to take from this is that, you know, we are doing this ridiculously quickly, faster than is, you know, faster than even some extinction level of, like, mass extinction events, right? And again, it is baffling. Never before, in our knowledge, has another species had this much of an impact. Like, one single species had this much of an impact on the entire planet. And, you know, this is not coming from an angle of, oh, we want to be natural and natural is better. This is coming from an angle of, guys, this is bad.
It's fascinating as well, because this is the first that we know of, is the first extinction event where the thing doing the extincting knows what it's doing. So like, when the trees were getting real tall and they were getting real good at being trees and that was causing some problems, they didn't know that they were doing that.
Yeah.
They were just getting real tall by natural selection. We're not like naturally selecting towards, like, oh, we found this oil and the ones of us that use the oil are being naturally selected for. No, we're just all using the oil and we know what we're doing and we know that it's a problem and we carry on doing it. Like, that's almost like a different category to like the sort of blind evolution. Evolution finds a thing, exploits that niche and goes, wow, this works really well, but it doesn't do it consciously. We're doing this, like, it's like if they look back on us, like from like 200 years, 300 years, 400 years in the future, they'll be like, okay, so these monkeys got real smart, but not smart enough to know that they were still dumb.
No, but I feel like it's almost worse than that. It's like these monkeys got real smart, smart enough to know that what they were doing is bad, and not smart enough to not do the thing.
Yeah.
So they were aware that they were killing themselves and everything else, but they just kept doing it. Why? They made up this thing called money. And for some reason that was more important than
the money told them to do it
than everything else. Yeah, so they did it for money, and this money must have been very valuable. It must have had a lot of uses.
No,
in fact, a lot of it, most of it, wasn't real. It wasn't there.
It was made of trees and cotton.
No. Most of it was made of electricity. So it was electricity. Just pretending to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb monkeys, man.
Like, yeah.
Dumbass monkeys.
The numbers told me to do it.
I'm sorry. The ones and zeros. I had to. I simply had to. But yeah, I just want to briefly end this with, have you heard of the Anthropocene? Anthropocene.
I've heard of it. I can tell you nothing more.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So the Anthropocene epoch. I'm not going to try and do it again, but it comes from the Greek anthropo, meaning human, and scene, which is new. So it's basically the sort of a geologic period of time, right? So National Geographic describe it as an unofficial unit of geologic time used to describe the most recent period in Earth's history when human activity started to have a significant impact on the planet's climate and ecosystems. And so the way that we kind of divvy these things up, these different sort of epochs, is based on sort of how rocks look. So do you know, we were talking about the sort of fossil records. So
yeah.
You can kind of, if you kind of look into the Earth floor, you can see changes in how the sort of layers of the Earth look based on different things that have happened, right? And these are, again, we're talking about sort of geological time periods, so these are long, long time periods. And the idea is that you can't really say that it's a period of human activity in geologic time. You can't really say it's the Anthropocene until, oh my God. You can't really say it's the Anthropocene until, like, you know, humans have had an impact, like a geological impact. And that's a really hard thing to do, right? Have a geological level impact, like mountains forming or things being crushed into coal and oil and gas, right? Those are things that happen over sort of geological time periods. And they are it's massive, massive stuff, right? Changing the sort of fundamental nature of rocks or the composition of the sort of surface of the planet and things like that. That's not something that we can do terribly easily. But have you heard about plastic rocks?
No.
So last year, Fernanda Alvelar Santos found plastic rocks on an island. Basically, these rocks were sort of a mix of plastic and sedimentary granules. They were kind of held together by plastics. I think the plastic was mostly sort of fishing line, but it's not just, there's some rocks on plastic. Like, these were rocks of which a sort of fundamental component was plastic.
How the hell does that happen?
Ugh, I don't know. It's, like, we can do probably an entire episode on this whole sort of concept. I just wanted to briefly mention it as another sort of, like, this is the impact that we're having. Like,
so that might be our contribution to the geologic record. It's just like, it's a weird layer of plastic from somewhere.
Yeah, like literally, yeah, yeah. Genuinely. It's kind of, I think the way that it kind of works is that sort of these sort of rocks come together and the plastic kind of joins them in a way. I think it's because there's heat. Oh, gosh. There's sort of heating of where they are, which causes the plastics to melt a bit and then reset with all these rocks kind of like as a part of them. And it's kind of like a rock formation, but with plastic. Yeah. I mean, so it's melted plastic. It gets stuck with rocks. And they just kind of make plastic rocks. Horrible.
What a great legacy.
Yeah.
Our impact.
Oh, God. I think there's just one thing left. It's the Quickfire Quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Mass Extinction Edition.
So the rules for the Quickfire Quiz are the same as always. They'll ask one question between you and the audience. The first person to answer the question after finished asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
They win some plastic rock.
Good Lord. My question for you is, how much higher is the current rate of extinction compared to the background?
About 100 times.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. Correct. Yeah. Somewhere between 100 and 10,000, depending on who you ask.
That's quite a range.
And speaking of range, this has got nothing to do with range. It's time for us to go, but before we do that, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Danito and Glitchrabbit, and thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and when it leaves a nice sweet review, you can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find it on that as a size one of or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com. SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
Bye.
Bye.